Rejoicing, this is a new year. Amen. Repeat after me. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to see 2017. Amen. Amen. God is good. We've come rejoicing this morning. I want to thank those men who have gone before me. We appreciate the tag team of Brother Brian Collins and Brother Jameson Rose this morning. Brother Daryl Shackelford, who did the announcements. Deacon Johnny Allen, who led us to the throne of God in prayer. And also Deacon Mark Dawson, who read to us from the Word of God. I want to say to everyone that's visiting, you are indeed an honored guest. Don't have any visitors' cards, but do know we have a few visitors in the audience. It's good to see Sister Ann Chambers, Sister Kez Kolesnikov's daughter. And I saw someone else, I think, this morning. Who did I see? I'll get you in a minute. But it's good to see all those who are visiting with us this morning. Good that you didn't allow your festivities to get in the way of coming out and doing the most important thing that you could do in 2017, and that is worship God in spirit and in truth. And so... are there any visitors to my left? I don't think there are. Oh, yes, that's who I saw, someone. Would you please stand and tell us who you are and where you're from? Amen. It's a pleasure having you with us, and we want to encourage you to come back and be with us again. And we have a little gift that's coming your way. Do we have any other visitors who are to my right this morning? Again, it's wonderful to see everyone this morning. As we begin, let me say this. I want to extend deepest sympathy to the Hobdy, Rogers, and McGee families on the loss of our dear Sister Hobdy. Also, want to extend sympathy to the Cobb family on the loss of Sister Lake Cobb's father. You know, in these two things, though, God is good. I say it because Sister Hobdy was blessed to have time beyond the time that the doctors gave her. About 2 years ago, we sat in the library office with the family, and she was given just a few months. But we just said as the family, we'll just see what God has to say about that. And God has spoken. Amen. And, of course, with the Cobb family, Sister Cobb's father was a dedicated servant of God, an elder in the church, and I understand he was 92 years old. So God is good even in those situations. I also want to say this morning that the song service is going to be at the Liberty City Church of Christ. If I don't think that was announced, but if there are those who are going to the song service, it will be at the Liberty City Church of Christ. At this time, turn in your Bibles once again. I want to encourage you and invite you to join me at Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to read just verse number 1. Here the Bible says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. This morning, I want us to mark that we have had 365 days of living in 2016. Regardless of what happened, regardless of how it went down, we can't go back and change one thing. One thing for sure is that life goes on and time keeps on passing. As we live life, things have a way of happening. Lessons are learned, and it has been said that yesterday is the past, tomorrow is a promissory note, and all we have is today. 2017 is here. I guess it's official because the sparkly ball has descended while the crowd was chanting 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year. So I guess it's official. Amen. Amen. The Black Eyed Peas and the New Year's dinner are in the oven waiting on us. Amen. Many have made way for this year by clearing out clutter from their closets and chest of drawers. Some of us just looked at them and said, I'll get it when I can. But what about this year? What will you do with this year? As we go through this year, I want to give you one word. I'm not going to talk about resolutions because you break them. I'm not going to talk about big ideas because sometimes it doesn't come to fruition. But this morning, I want to give you one word to think about. And that word is sacrifice. The title of today's message is, what sacrifice will you make for God in 2017? What sacrifice will you make for God in 2017? And I want to go on record from the very beginning that to say this, that we should appreciate a sacrifice. Let me explain what a sacrifice is all about. A sacrifice is an act of offering to a deity, to a God. And of course, we make that to the one and the only God, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father through the Holy Spirit. But it's something that's precious, especially the killing of a victim on an altar. It is something offered in sacrifice. It is destruction or surrender of something for the sake of something else. When I talk about sacrifice, I'm talking about something given up or something that is lost. And I might throw in the word willingly. We have seen sacrifice. Folks, don't look at me strange. We have seen sacrifice. We understand sacrifice. Let me bring it to your remembrance. When a parent forgoes a pleasure or a necessity that they would like to have, we're talking about a sacrifice. That's a sacrifice. When a child drops out of school to take care of a sick parent, that's a sacrifice. When a mate puts their life on hold to take care of a sick spouse, that's a sacrifice. When a soldier falls on an explosive device, giving up his arms and giving up his legs, I want you to know that's a sacrifice in order to save his comrades, his buddies. The Bible says to us in Romans 15, in verse number 1. Those of us who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those who are without strength and not just please ourselves. God is saying we ought to learn a little something about how to sacrifice. Now, I know you didn't expect that this morning, but that's what I got for you. In Romans verse number 5 and verse number 8, the Bible talks about Jesus, how that when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were flat on our backs, when we were being counted out, when we were helpless, when there was no help in sight, when there was nothing but evil all around, God says, I got a better way. God says, I'm going to do something for these folks. Oh, Christ died for the ungodly. God's word has two great sacrifices, and I want to tell you about them. The first one is in Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. The Bible talks about there how that God came to Abraham, and God says to him, I want you to go into the land of Moriah. I want you to go and I want you to make a sacrifice of your son. Offer him up on Mount Moriah. And Abraham, it's interesting. First of all, God comes and he says, Abraham, he calls him. And Abraham says, here I am. Now, I'm going to tell you something about that in a minute. But Abraham goes on, and he begins to prepare to do what God tells him to do. He chops up the wood, splits it. He prepares the fire, and he gets it all ready. And then in the morning, he gets up, and he takes two young men along with his son Isaac. And the Bible says, and God said it this way, I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac, whom you love. Your only son Isaac, whom you love. See, it's a lot in that, amen? See, if he had a whole bunch of sons, that would be a different story. He has but one son. If it was that son that has gone and fallen away and that's out there cutting up, and the one that you don't like too much anyway, and he don't like you, that's a different story. But he says, I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac, the one that you love. Are you getting to do you see it now? Here's someone that's special. Here's someone that's close to you. Here's someone who means something to you. I want you to sacrifice him. So he goes the next day, and he 3 days, he arrives. He sees the place. And he, as he's going, the son says to Abraham, he says, Father. And Abraham says, here I am. I want you to think about them words. I'm going to come back to them. Here I am. Then he goes, and the son says, I see the fire, I see the wood. He says, but I don't see the sacrifice. And Abraham says, you know, God will provide. And then when he gets to the place, he tells his young men, you stay here with the donkey, but my son and I, we are going to go up and we are going to worship God. And we will return. And then after this happens, when God sees that Abraham is going to go through with it, God calls Abraham. And Abraham says, "Here I am." Now, I want you to see something here. I'm going to tell you in a minute. And God causes him to see then a ram in the bush. And Abraham uses that as the sacrifice. And he calls this place Jehovah Jireh, or God will provide. In the mount of the Lord, God will provide. Now, I want you to see something. Three times it mentions in verse number 1 and around verse number 12 and also around verse 7 or so, it mentions, "Here I am," on three different occasions. When God calls you, when God wants you to do something, do you answer like Abraham, "Here I am"? Can God find you? The second time, the son asks the question, or he calls his father, "Father," and Abraham says, "Here I am." How many fathers are answering their children today by saying, "Here I am"? Are you looking for him? Do you want him? Do you know where he is? Or are you like Abraham? Are you there with them? Are you there where you need to be? Are you there doing what you need to be doing? Abraham says, "Here I am." And then the last time, after God has approved of him, and after God has patted him on the back, he calls him again. And Abraham says, "Here I am." How many times do once we get what we want, once we accomplish what we set out to do, take off? How many people have walked through the doors of this building, but you can't find them now? Abraham says, "Here I am." In other words, "Lord, I'm not going anywhere. I don't always understand why you do what you do. I don't always understand the stuff that goes down in my life, but I ain't going nowhere. Here I am." Now notice something else. In verse number 5, Abraham called it before it happened. Abraham told the young man, he says, "You stay here, and me and my son are going to go up and worship, and we are going to come back down." Did Abraham doubt? Was Abraham, "Oh, Lord, why you got me doing this?" Abraham was with God. Abraham knew that God would not let him down. Abraham was depending on God. That's a great sacrifice, folks. If we could just be half as good as Abraham, we would be powerful. Amen? Now let me share with you the second great sacrifice, the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you this before I move on to that, just one quick thought. You know... we got to be careful when we talk about sacrificing to God. We got to be like Abraham. And why do I say that? I say that because in Hosea 6 and verse number 6, here's what God said at one time. He says, "For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." Church, are we getting it? Because those of you who are technical, you would say, "Well, Abraham, he really didn't make the sacrifice." You see what I'm saying? But didn't he prove that he was loyal to God? Didn't he prove that he was willing to do the will of God? And so that's why I'm saying we need to be like Abraham when it comes to making a sacrifice. Now, let me tell you about Jesus. In Philippians 2, verse number 5 through 8, the Bible says these words. have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. You know, when you got all you need, when you really are all this, a box of cookies and the box and the factory that made them, why would you step down? But that's exactly what this says about Jesus. Jesus didn't need us. We needed him. Jesus was not needy. We needed him. He had everything. He was existing in the form of God, and he thought it not something to be grasped but to hold on to. Some of us get just a little bit of something, and we're holding on to it. Don't want to let it go. No, you get away from me. You get your own. But that wasn't the attitude of Jesus. The ultimate sacrifice. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 10 and 12 says, but he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus went to Calvary. Jesus died the death that you and I should have experienced. And he sat down at the right hand of God, because he had endured the worst of the worst. He didn't have to do that. The ultimate sacrifice. He sacrificed not just his arms, not just his legs, but he sacrificed all of himself throughout all eternity for you and for me. In Ephesians 5 and verse 2, the Bible says, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. It was pleasing to God. It pleased God. It made him feel good. You know, some folks have certain aromas, some of our sisters. You walk in the house and you smell that house and it goes, this smells good. And Febreze tries to tell you that they can cover up anything. I don't know about all that. But it's some good scents. God gets a good scent when we sacrifice to him. God says, that's good. God is well pleased when a sacrifice is done from the heart, when it's selfless, and when it's in love. I'm getting ready to finish now. I'm going to sit down. Finally, I need to ask this question. Will you sacrifice? You know, I said, I'm not talking about, hey, I want to lose 20 pounds, but I'm working on it, okay? And I'm sure you got some stuff you're working on too. I'm not going to talk about that this morning. I'm going to talk about something that we need to do, and that is, let's look at making some sacrifices for God, okay? Will you sacrifice? Jesus wants a sacrifice from us. I'm starting to make it personal now. He wants us to be, as Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 said, a living sacrifice. He doesn't want a dead sacrifice. He doesn't want an animal sacrifice. He wants you and me. He wants us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to him, holy, acceptable unto him. He wants you and I to give ourselves. to him. When was the last time you made a sacrifice for Jesus? I won't ask you to tell me. It might have been too long. But I want to give us this morning, as we go into 2017, a few practical ways that we can make some sacrifices for Jesus. Is that all right, church? I just want some practical things that you and I can choose to do. That some things that we can, you know, not like a resolution that we make, and then they say 30 days later, probably most of them are going to be broken. But here's something that we can do. And you know we can do these things, folks. First of all, why don't we make a sacrifice that says, I'm going to lose a little bit of sleep on Sunday morning so that I can come and worship God and be on time. Are you willing to make that sacrifice? Folks, it is a shame that we stroll in here 20 minutes after the service has started, and for some folks, 40 minutes. Now, what's wrong with us saying that I'm going to stroll in here on time? Is that possible? Can we make that sacrifice? That I'm going to give up 20 or 30 minutes? So in 2017, I'm going to look a little different. I'm going to act a little different, and people are going to see something different in me. Can we do that, church? Now, don't throw no tomatoes yet. I'm not finished. Why don't we decide on Friday or Monday or some other day other than Sunday that we're going to attend church? Because we wait until 11 o'clock on Sunday to decide, oh, I'm going to go to church. Oh, man, I didn't get my suit out of the cleaner. Oh, man, I ain't got no clothes. My dress don't fit right. Oh, well, maybe next Sunday. Why don't we decide on Friday or some other day that we're going to make that sacrifice? Amen? Amen. Why don't we say, here I am sometime to God, rather than God, where'd they go? Where are they? I wonder where. Let's say, here I am sometime to God. Why don't we pick up someone that needs a ride to church on Sunday morning sometime? I know you might have to start a little bit early. I know you might have to go out of your way. I know you might have to use up a little bit of your gas. But how about making a sacrifice for God in 2017? We got some folks who unable to come to church because nobody want to pick me up. Folks, why don't we do something a little different in 2017? I want you to know that it's possible to do this stuff. I ain't going to call no name, but I know a sister who said, I'm going to attend Bible study every day in 2016. She made that determination, and let me tell you something. Unless she was sick, she was able to do it. That's when you put self out of the way. That's when you begin to sacrifice. And see, it's little bitty stuff, but it's important to God. Because it's precious. It means something to us. Why don't we give God something that means something to us? Sacrifice. That's what it's about. When we are willing to change something about the way we've been doing, now we're starting to sacrifice to God. Some people will say, I can't make a sacrifice because I don't have anything. Well, honey child, brother man, sister brother, let me tell you this. You can give more if you decide that you're going to sacrifice something for God. Stay tuned, church. You like them Clark bars. You like those Snickers. Why don't you give up a Clark bar or a Snicker? Sacrifice it for God. I know some of us like those hamburgers. You know, the one, the triple, you know, with the triple decker, bags of chips, popcorn, and oh, they got that, what they call skinny popcorn now, you know. Fooling ourselves. It's still doing the same old thing, honey. It's doing the same old thing. Why don't you give up a bag of that? Some of us, you know, got our cigarettes that we go outside and wherever we go to smoke them. That's the regular kind and the squiggly kind, too. Why don't we give up some of that stuff and we'll have some money in our pockets to give to God? Will you make a sacrifice of time? Will you make a sacrifice of just a little bit of comfort to share Jesus with your family and with your friends? You see, it can be done if we're just willing to make a little sacrifice. I'm going to come to an end. I told you I was getting close. In Mark chapter 8 and verse number 34, the Bible says, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whosoever or whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it." I simply ask this morning, are you willing to make a sacrifice? We can do it. In 2017, let us begin to make a few sacrifices for God. I guarantee you that we will be different people. I guarantee you that this congregation will be different. You see, why don't we make a sacrifice that everything that somebody does to me wrong ain't gonna tear me up? You see, Jesus didn't do anything wrong. You know, some of us, and I know we have, we've been in the place of being innocent, but having some bad stuff go down. One of the most disheartening times, I'll tell you about this, happened in my life when I was a young man. I was a safety boy in the public schools of Detroit. And I had gotten to be a lieutenant. Boy, I thought I was big time. And there was a little girl who some other folks was messing with or whatever. And here comes Super Ranger. I intervened and I thought, you know, hey, you know, I was this and that. Got drug in before the principal, and before I know it, I'm a part of the problem too. You know, and I'm like, you know, what is this? I'm just being good. I'm just doing what's right. And here I am, you know, getting blamed. But it taught me something, that sometimes you can be doing right and you can get blamed. You can experience some problems in your life. So I learned how to get a little stronger, learned how to get a little thicker because of that. And next time I put on my cape, I made sure that the person appreciated it. The lesson is yours this morning. What sacrifice will you make for God in 2017? He sacrificed his life. Are you willing to obey him? The Bible says, see, Abraham was really obedient. Whatever God said do, he did it, and he did it right away, and he did it the way God told him to do it. God, and I'm going to make it simple. A lot of people don't want to do this, but I'm going to make it simple anyway. If you want to obey God today, you must hear Jesus Christ. You must hear and obey the message concerning Jesus Christ, because there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, only in Jesus Christ. So then you must come to believe in Jesus Christ. You must believe that he is the Son of God. You must believe that, yes, he died on the cross. You must believe that evil and sinful men put him to death and then buried him. And you must believe that on the third day he rose again from the dead with all power in his hand. And because of that, because it happened, then we must be willing to repent of our sins. When we look at that, we come to the conclusion that I messed up. We come to the conclusion that I need some help. We come to the conclusion that I don't have it together and it ain't looking good as far as getting it together. We come to the conclusion that, Lord, I've got to surrender to you. I've got to give it up and let you take care of it. You must confess Christ before men. Be buried with him in baptism. Baptism washes away your mess. All of that stuff that you have done that you don't even want to talk about or think about sometime. Amen? Baptism washes away all that stuff that you thought was so good and so great and puts it in Christ Jesus. Because there is none righteous, no, not one. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. I don't care where you live. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care who your parents are. I don't care what job you got. You need Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ. Now, you can keep on acting the way you acting. You can keep on staying away from God. Or in 2017, you can decide to make a sacrifice that's going to mean something. You can put all of your selfishness, you can put all of your stuff on the line, the altar, and come to Christ. Give it to God and let God make something out of you. Let God make a new man. Let God make a new woman. Let God make a new young man, a new young person out of you, a student or whatever it may be. Let God, through Jesus Christ, make something special out of you. If we begin to walk with God, just every now and then say, "Here I am." God is calling you right now. He's calling you, if you are not in Christ Jesus, to be baptized. He's calling you if you've fallen away. He's calling you right now to come back. But how many of us will say, "Here I am. Here I am." And how many of us, once we say that, a week, a month, a year or 10 years later, we'll still be answering God, "Here I am." The lesson is yours. Please come as we together stand and sing.
Oh, my trust.
Oh, my
Lord.
Will you come this morning?
Can tell them to my Lord.
Will you come this morning
and heal my burdens bear?
Tell God, "Here I am." Will you come
through the pain, through the pain?
Will you come? Come on down right now. Will you come this morning?
And the strength.
If you need to put Christ on in baptism, come on today. Put him on right now.
Brings me hope through all my trials. Burden low.
There's time to come. Will you come?
And fill me with despair. But God knows,
mercy.
And his mercy shows. Jesus gives me strength through all my
good. God loves you. He loves you more than you'll ever know. Harden your hearts.
Oh, my trial.
Amen, amen. You've been a great audience as you listened to God's word this morning. It's my prayer that you've been uplifted, that you've been encouraged by the things that were proclaimed. And again, God bless you and Happy New Year.